And now, it's time for the Talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, hello, good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show on this, the 2nd of July, 4 minutes past nine. How are you all keeping? I hope you're very well indeed. We've a packed show for you as always. It's Tuesday, so we'll have the very latest news and appeals from Ungardashee O'Connell for you first here live on the 9 till noon show. That's coming up after 10. We're going to be chatting to Laura Boner from the Muff Liquor Company a little later on in the show. It's a big day for that company. Of course, they've recently signed a massive deal to distribute their products in America. And Russell Crowe's in town, of Gladiator fame and many other films. He's in town. He's one of the backers. Ed Sheeran, I don't think he's going to make an appearance, but he certainly is also one of those with a financial interest in the company, which goes from strength to strength. So it's a very busy day for Laura, and we'll grab a word with her before this morning is out. That and so much more besides. Anything you want to talk about, let us know. 0860 25000. Any news for us? Give us a call too on 0860 25000 is the text to call us. It's 07491 25000. If you want to email, it's comments at highlandradio.com. Watch the show at home on your smart TV or Fire Stick, YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland, and search us on Facebook and X if you're out and about. On to the newspapers, and a lot of law stuff in the newspapers today, a lot of court stuff, as you can imagine. So it'll be brief enough. There's not too much knocking about in the world of newspapers, it has to be said. That's interesting for this item. But a story that's covered extensively, and I'll take it from the Irish Independent, rape survivor Blathnad Rally has voiced her support for Natasha O'Brien and said young men are not calling out their peers amid a concerned culture of violence against women. The 26-year-old was speaking after a judge imposed an 8-year jail term on her rapist, Jonathan Moran. Moran was jailed yesterday after he was found guilty of a serious assault of Miss Rally in a garden shed in 2019. And just, I'm conscious that young ones are off school at the moment and might be listening, so I'll not go into much detail, but suffice to say it is brutal. And I don't want in any way to diminish her experience, but I hope you understand. Miss Rally, who waived her right to anonymity, described the sentence handed down at the Central Criminal Court by Justice Tony Hunt as one she was happy with. "I think it's a strong sentence," she said. "It sent a strong message, and the judge was very definite with his thoughts, which is important to me. Somebody also recognises how bad this was. I'm happy with the sentence." And the judge also said, quite interestingly, and perhaps not coincidentally, that the career prospects of the accused should not be used really in mitigating a sentence. So that's Jonathan Moran serving 8 years, the final year suspended. A secondary school teacher, this is in the Irish Times, a secondary school teacher who sent an anonymous letter falsely alleging that a male colleague was a child abuser has escaped jail. Judge Alex Gabbett imposed a suspended 2-month sentence on the 42-year-old father of three at Ennis District Court in Clare. The victim of two false letters sent by the accused said in a victim impact statement that his life had been made a living nightmare by the fictitious allegations made up by his colleague. Now, can you imagine someone sending those letters claiming that you're guilty of one of the most horrendous of crimes? It really is quite shocking. "The nature of this crime is that when you have a problem with somebody, you send in an anonymous letter saying that they're a child abuser," the judge said. "This could have had career-changing implications for the victim, and I have to be mindful of that. I have to mark the seriousness of the events that took place." Solicitor Dara Hassett for the accused admitted that what his client did was harassment of a vile nature, but said his client was not well at the time the letters were sent. Lots of people are not well, but don't send those types of letters. In any case, a 2-month suspended sentence for that impact on that other person's lives. The Daily Mail this morning: 2/3 of us believe that it is harder than ever to buy a first home. A new study found that levels of optimism when it came to people's chances of getting on the property ladder have not improved in 5 years. While 67% felt that it had never been harder, the survey commissioned by the life insurance and pension company Royal London Ireland also found that 27% agreed that while it is hard to buy a first home, this has always been the case. Is that fair? Do you agree with the 67% or the 27%? Now, I know they don't both add up to 100. There's always I don't knows. But has it always been really hard to get your first home? I think it has. Is it harder than ever now? I presume so, because of the availability and cost. Barry McCutcheon of Royal London Bank said 5 years on, and in the court of public opinion, not much has changed. People still believe that buying a home in Ireland has increasingly become an uphill struggle. Also, as part of that article, it tells us that on average, of 44,000 new housing units are needed every year to keep up with population growth, new research shows, which is actually short of the target set by Fine Gael. So if you go by this and you go by Fine Gael's targets, they're oversubscribing the market. The Economic and Social Research Institute published a report funded by the Department of Housing, which presents a range of scenarios for future demand. Taking the average of all 12 scenarios, structural housing demand is projected to be around 44,000 per year. Most of those houses needed in Dublin and Cork, also we read. Just tracking the political events of France, because often what can happen there can ripple out across Europe. Politicians say France is days away from catastrophe, after the hard-right National Rally Party won the first round of parliamentary elections. Marine Le Pen's anti-immigration party is now the dominant force in French politics. I think that's not necessarily... not that I'm involved in French politics. I don't think she's anti-immigration or the party's anti-immigration. They're anti certain types of immigration. I have heard her say on a number of occasions that people are welcome into the country if they conform to certain scenarios. So she's anti certain elements of immigration. I'm not sure it's correct to label her party completely anti-immigration. I'm open to correction on that. But anyway, she's at the gates of power. Rioting engulfed the streets of Paris with just 6 days until the crucial second round of voting, which will decide the country's future. It is the biggest political turmoil to hit the country, which hosts the Olympics in just over 3 weeks, in decades. National Rally secured over 33% of the opening vote, the only time the hard right has won the first round of French parliamentary elections. Now all eyes are on Sunday's second round runoff, in which the majority of the 577 seats will be decided. Talking of immigration, in the Irish Daily Mirror, a further five countries are to be added to Ireland's safe countries list under plans that will be considered by the government. International protection applications from these states, which have not been officially named, will be accelerated from Wednesday following an extensive review by the department. It's understood Egypt, India and Brazil are three of the five Minister Helen McEntee intends to add. Now, I've looked down the list of where people are coming from, and I don't recall seeing Egypt, India or Brazil in the top five. I'll double check it. Well, applicants will now be expedited, or applications, and will be processed more quickly than those from other countries. There are currently 10 nations designated as safe countries, but as I say, as where the majority of people are coming from, it's certainly not Egypt, India and or Brazil. And lastly, I presume some of you keeping an eye on the strike action at Aer Lingus. Feuding Aer Lingus pilots and bosses have been urged to drop their baggage amid threats of a wave of all-out strikes. Both sides yesterday attended showdown talks at the Labour Court in a bid to ground the bitter dispute over pay. Pilots have been waging an indefinite work to rule industrial action since last Wednesday before upping the ante with a full 8-hour work stoppage on Saturday. The Labour Court now has said it is going to intervene on it. It's going to meet tomorrow, make its recommendations. I believe they're at least somewhat binding. But anyway, we'll see how that goes. Good morning, Dolores, Kathy, Annie, Josephine. They've signed in, watching across our social media and on our website. Feel free to say hello if you are watching the show. It's always good to hear from you in that space as well. And keep your texts and calls coming in to us. 07491 25000. That's the text line. No, it's not. Why am I getting my numbers mixed up today? 086 60 25000, maybe I did say that, is the WhatsApp and text line, or you can call us on 07491 25000. Hopefully things will be a little bit smoother going forward. We'll be back very shortly. Right, yesterday on the programme, Councillor Micheál Colum McGillan Asperg raised the issue of Glenveagh Castle not being accessible. He said he was told it was because of a shortage of staff. So as we promised, we got in contact with the powers that be in relation to this. It's the Department of Housing, Local Government and Heritage. And we received this response. Due to staffing pressures over the past 2 weeks, we've had to temporarily close Glenveagh Castle on a number of days. Health and safety of our staff and visitors is paramount and always central to our decision making. We are doing everything we can to reopen this week, but will remain closed today, that's Tuesday, of course, and Wednesday for the next while due to staffing issues. We're working to get panels in place to fill staff vacancies in our visitor service and return to full opening, but this will take time and we ask people to bear with us. Glenveagh National Park has a number of new general operatives and conservation rangers. Appointment of a park ranger is also imminent. A committed staff in Glenveagh Castle and National Park continue to provide an invaluable service to the public. We apologise for any inconvenience caused. So that seems to indicate that it's closed today and tomorrow and every Tuesday and Wednesday for the foreseeable. If I've read that correctly, I'll just read that line one more time. We will remain closed today and Wednesday for the next while due to staffing issues. OK, so that sounds like the closing Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Might get a bit of clarification on that. It's not fully clear to me. We were talking to about the importance of giving blood if you can because of dwindling stocks. This caller says, I used to give blood regularly. 5 years ago, I had an ablation and they won't let me donate since. I'm not on any medication and can't understand the reasoning. They are crying out for people to donate blood and they won't let me even though I'm fit and healthy. Another, I was a regular blood donor until I had to get a blood transfusion during the birth of my baby over 20 years ago. I have no medical issues. The transfusion was related to the birth only. BTSB will not take any blood again because I received the transfusion. We did have a conversation with them about the transfusion and the rules around that. I just can't remember exactly how that played out. Morning, Greg. I just heard on Highland Radio about Glenveagh Castle being closed. It's not for the want of staff. I worked out there for years and they were tripping over one another. Well, we've got official confirmation that it is for the want of staff. Closed Tuesdays and Wednesdays, at least of this week. And they're having to put panels in place and they're working on that and what have you. Greg, you should do a feature on water safety. I'm 42 and I never realised a life jacket inflated. Call me silly. I just didn't know how it would save you. Never thought about it, but now I do. Thanks. That's a listener in Lifford. Well, it depends on the type of life jacket. The majority of people who just use, who just go out on the sea occasionally, what have you, the jacket wouldn't actually inflate. It would just, it's just got padding in it that helps you float. Obviously, when you go up to inshore fishermen, fishermen out at sea, and those that take it a little bit seriously, there are life jackets that do inflate once they come into contact with the water. So it depends. But, yeah, certainly, it's always no harm to do any features that help to empower people with knowledge. A caller says, young people go to other countries like Australia and work up to 80 hours a week. They complain that they can't afford to stay in Ireland. If they worked 80 hours, they could afford whatever they want. We need to give our young people more incentive to work. Another, Greg, hundreds, if not thousands, of false allegations are made in... Oh, I read that one yesterday. It's quite long. I read that one yesterday, though. Right, OK. I'm going to be joining very shortly two very special sisters, Jodie and Kerry Lockery from Buncrana. Are you there with us? You can hold it like that. Can you hear me okay, Jodie? Kerry, how are you getting on? Here we go. Just about to unmute. I thought you young ones were supposed to be fantastic with technology. What's going on, girls? 2 minutes, okay. Two Donegal sisters, they're going to make history. Irish soccer history, actually, in a couple of months. I will actually do this. It might help. I'll ask you to unmute. They're going to be making history as they've both been named in Ireland women's under-19 squad for the European Championship finals in Lithuania. They're going to be joining us very shortly to have a chat. So whilst they do that, I'll continue talking. In Terminal 2, T2, Dublin Airport yesterday, dropping off my daughter and her boyfriend to return to Perth for another year's work, I made a point of checking out the tourist leaflet stand. I saw on the way back to the car park there wasn't anything about the Wild Atlantic Way, never mind anything about Donegal. The booklet about the West had Glenveagh and Glebe Gallery listed. That's it, which is it's disappointing, isn't it? We really do need, when people come into Dublin, it's tough enough really for us to sort of sell our part of the world as it is without it actually being advertised where the most people come in, that being Dublin, of course. And there used to be an issue with that in other places as well. Right, let's see if I can join our sisters now, Jodie and Kerry Lockery from Buncrana. Good morning, girls.
Tomorrow.
Fingers crossed. As I say, I thought it was young people were all over the technology, and yet here we are. Camille, congratulations on the both of you. What an amazing experience. You know, Jody, if it was just you, it would be fantastic. But the fact that it's the two of you makes it extra special that you're going to make history together and named on the under-19 squad for the European Championship Finals in Lithuania. What's it feel like?
Oh, it's brilliant. I suppose the last time Ireland even qualified was 10 years ago. So, no, it's absolutely brilliant. Say you're going to the Euros, it's crazy.
Now, both of you are for Buncrana, but both of you also play for Sligo Rovers currently. And your kind of careers have tracked each other right from the get-go, haven't they, Kerry?
I have. I don't know why. That's just the way it's been.
All right, OK. And if I were Sligo Rovers, do I have to sign the two of yous? Or do I have to sign the two of yous? Or can you move individually as well?
Most of the time we're a package dealer. But no, we always go where basically each other goes, just... You know what I mean?
And do you see that as an advantage, sort of? I mean, I presume there's a bit of sibling rivalry there, but also a lot of sibling support pushing you on to... Because you have to be operating at the very high level to start getting named in international squads and what have you. Does it help to have each other around?
Oh, 100%. Even going, during the week, to the pitch, we have each other to play with. And, you know what I mean? We're always pushing each other on, whether it's...
We're very competitive, so yeah. We're always one-on-one against each other.
Yeah, that's it. And what positions do you play in?
I play in left wing or in centre mid.
Right, Kerry?
And then I play centre mid, right wing, left back, whatever really.
Right, okay. Problem if they're looking for one centre mid and they have to pick between the two ears. But anyway... We hope there's a bit of flexibility there to make sure you both line out. So you're in the squad at this stage. That's already historic in itself. It's a tough enough old group, Spain, Germany and the Netherlands.
Yeah, I think they're probably the three best in Europe, to be honest. But I don't know, 10 years ago they got Spain too in it and I think they either drew or beat them 1-0. So there's always a chance, but we have to go into the games hoping that we can win,
Yeah, exactly. But listen, if you're going to be the best, you have to play the best, don't you? And this is fantastic for yous too, Kerry. I know yous are both very committed to Sligo Rovers, but this is a fantastic platform too to show the world what yous have. And who knows what opportunities that could open up as well.
Yeah, exactly.
So at this stage, you're in the squad. If selected for the starting 11, the Lochries would become the first female siblings to represent Ireland at a major tournament. Jody, that in itself as well would be fantastic. But listen, you have to worry about not getting injured between now and then. Do you allow yourself to think about that possibility, I wonder?
Yeah, I suppose so. You have to think about that, but, you know what I mean? You have to put that away. You just have to keep on training. We have a couple of days off now with Sligo, so it's grand, but we're still going to keep on training ourselves, so hopefully no injuries.
Yeah, that's it. And the opening game is when? It's in mid-July, isn't it? July 15th?
Yep, that Monday, yeah.
All right, very exciting. Now, when do you fly out?
This Monday coming.
Okay, and I suppose we'll like any team, we'll know the squads. We'll know the starting lineup just before the game. Fingers crossed. It's been a fantastic experience for you, as I say, playing at under-17 level together, playing for Sligo Rovers together, and hopefully making history both playing for the under-19 squad. That would be something else, wouldn't it? How proud are the family?
I'm very proud.
And who did you get this sport and skill from, Kerry?
Definitely not parents.
You say it skips a generation. Was your granddad a top scorer for Ireland or something?
All our brothers played, when we were younger, we just kind of played with them out in the garden, so probably from them.
And I'd say too, you've got in with the right coaches early on that perhaps saw the potential to bring you through as well.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay. And are you watching the European Championships at the moment? I don't know, what did you watch?
We are, Portugal last night, that was a good game, I must say.
Where do you stand on Ronaldo?
I know. Felt bad.
I've never seen, four saves effectively in half an hour that was so decisive. Absolutely unbelievable. And it wasn't that the kick takers made mistakes. They were just outstanding penalty saves.
Yeah, they were.
Goalkeepers never get the credit. It's always you outfielders that take all the glory.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, come here. The very best of luck. It's a fantastic achievement, and you can't count your chickens, of course. But hopefully it would be lovely to see the 2 years on in one of those games. It's a tough group, but as I say, you know, if you're going to be the best, you have to play the best. Group B, Spain, Germany, the Netherlands and Ireland. Thank you so much for joining us. As I say, hopefully everything goes well for you. Enjoy the trip, and I'm sure you'll do us all very, very proud.
Thanks very much.
All right, take care yourself. Bye. Thanks so much for helping us out there. That's the two Donegal sisters, Jodie and Kerry Lochry from Buncrana. Both have been named in Ireland's under-19 squad for the European Championship finals in Lithuania. I wonder, are those being televised? That is a bandwagon I feel I could certainly jump on.
Watch the show live now on YouTube, Facebook and at highlandradio.com.
Moving on in the programme, and we're joined on it now by Laura Boner, CEO of the Muff Liquor Company. It's a big day, Laura, and it's been a big number of years. I remember you speaking to us, I don't know, it feels like 5 or 6 years ago, just in the infancy of your company, and it has grown from strength to strength. It's really quite a remarkable story, Laura.
Good morning, Greg. Yeah, my goodness, you say 5 or 6 years ago, it feels like 20. But yeah, we're here now today, and very exciting times ahead.
Obviously, it all comes down to product fundamentally and the people behind it. But what do you think, can you pinpoint the secret to success?
Oh, passion and drive, I suppose. I think there was many a morning that I probably should have thrown in the towel during COVID, but just pure determination to keep going and believing in myself and believing in the company and the brand itself. Definitely helps them to keep pushing forward.
Now, today is a remarkable day in that Hollywood legend Russell Crowe is amongst those expected in Muff this morning to mark the formal opening of the new brand home for the Muff Liquor Company. What's the background to these celebrities' involvement in this project?
Oh, I actually wrote on my whiteboard before I even launched the company that I would have Ed Sheeran and Russell Crowe as shareholders. So I said Ed would be a shareholder, and I said Russell would do the first tweet when I launched into Australia, and then 5 years later I got both of them. But yeah, I just wanted them to be part of the company. And when Russell was filming in Ireland 2 years now, I managed to get a box of Muff gin, vodka and whiskey in front of them at 10:30 on a Saturday night. And at 8:05 Monday morning, I got a phone call saying, are you looking for investment? Which I very much was at that time. I was close to bankruptcy at that point. And went down and met him. We had a really good meeting, and as you say, the rest is history.
And how did you get Ed Sheeran on board?
I pitched to him too back in 2018. He wasn't able to do it at the time, but Russell and Ed are really good friends. So Russell knew about the Muff Liquor Company because of Ed. So when he got the bottles, he sent it to Ed and said, look what I've got. So they had a conversation and said, look, let's meet her and see what she's all about. And that was it then.
Really is quite remarkable. And as you say, from the depths, as you've just outlined yourself, the company is continuing to go from strength to strength. What's the significance of this major distribution deal to the US market?
Oh, that's huge. Like, this is what dreams are made of. It's what we all aim to be, to land as in America. So, yeah, Lewis Bowles, they're the oldest beer company in the world. They're 450 years now next summer. So to have them, they're in 110 countries, but we're launching into America. To have those guys who are so big and powerful back and support us the way that they do, it's incredible, and we're extremely honored, and we are grabbing this opportunity with both hands. And really looking forward to the launch now in America in this October.
And when we spoke previously, you didn't want to make too big a deal about it, and I can understand that too, but obviously the name of the brand is a little bit cheeky, shall we say. How does that travel to the US market? I'm not really sure if the terminology and what have you over there. Does the same double entendre persist?
It is. It's universal. But to be honest, once they hear the story and they taste liquid, the name, yes, is rememberable. That's the liquid they remember more. So that's the main part of it.
And Laura, what does this sort of progression with the company mean in terms of, you know, your employment or expansion or what have you?
Yeah, of course. So we've got another two employees that we've got now for the brand home. We'll grow step by step. Obviously, the brand home is opening in September. We're having the official launch party as of today. Yeah, look, the whole plan is that we want to create more jobs, and we will do so. And we'll just keep expanding as we go along when the opportunity comes.
And I suppose just finally back to the origins of this this company, it really sort of starts with your dad to some extent, doesn't it, and the inspiration for where you've taken...
No, not dad. No, my granddad.
Your granddad, I beg your pardon, sorry.
No, it's okay. He introduced me to his poutine many moons ago, so I just couldn't understand why we couldn't bottle it and sell it back in the day. So I just had this passion for me. So nearly 20 years, I wrote my first message to my family telling them that I'm going to drop out of law school and I'm going to learn how to make potato vodka. So 20 years in the making, and today come true. So yeah, I'm absolutely delighted, to be honest.
And one very final question, Laura. I thought it fascinating that, you know, you envisaged that you'd have Mr. Crow and Mr. Sheeran on board. Really quite remarkable that you managed to actually manifest that.
Yeah, I believe in the power of manifestation and vision and putting it out there and just going for it. So, yeah, anything I would say today that I can finally put another line through my vision board, I always said I would build a distillery in Musk, so here we are.
Anything else you want to share that we can get on board of now, I wonder?
I'm not telling you. Okay. I'm telling you, if I told you, I think this lady is crazy, as if people didn't think I was crazy beforehand, but I'm telling you, I'm going to tick off every one of them.
Wow, fascinating stuff. I'd love to get a look at it. Okay, well, listen, continued success. Congratulations to you, Laura. It's great
Thank
for you,
mate.
Your family, the company, and also for the area, truly putting it on the map. Have a fantastic day, and we really do appreciate
Thank you
talking to us
so
this morning.
No problem. Have a great day, and thank you for your time.
Bye-bye. Okay, that is Laura Boner, CEO of Muff Liquor, speaking to us ahead of a very exciting day. Russell Crowe, amongst guests who will be in Muff this morning to mark the formal opening of the new brand home for the Muff Liquor Company. This quick off the heels of the company signing a major distribution deal for the US market with Lucas Bowles Company. Well, the show has been all in a show so far this morning, and that's where we're going to stay. You might remember, or do you remember, back in March, we covered concerns that there were plans to relocate the nurse from Farn to Buncrana. The Farn Health Centre serves the communities of Burnfoot, Inch, Tuban, Maharabeg and Farn. There was concern that the removal of the service would impact on older people and others who would not be able to travel to Buncrana. Well, then the HSE got in touch with us and they said the HSE would like to advise that there are no plans to move the public health nurse from Farn Health Centre and that public health nurse services continue to be provided in the Farn Health Centre. There are no plans at present to close any other health centres either. Now, Carmel Lynch was a guest on the show earlier in the year as well, as Carmel had started a petition to retain these services at the Farn Health Centre. And Carmel's with me now. Hi, Carmel.
Good morning, Greg.
Thank you very much for joining. So, of course, then we got this confirmation from the HSE. They said, no way, Jose. These services are being retained in Farn. That's black ink on white paper. Is that the reality on the ground, though?
Unfortunately, Greg, as from yesterday, the Farn Health Centre is now closed. The nurse has been moved to Buncrana. Well, she actually has been moved to Mobile to cover maternity leave, and her service has now been covered by the nurse in Muff, which she has area of Quigley's Point to Inch. So previously, if we rang the number, the health centre number, the carers, anybody could leave a voicemail and the nurse would contact them the next morning because that was manned from 9 to 5, 5 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, as from yesterday, when you ring the number, you're told to ring another number. When you ring the other number, it just rings out. So that has been taken away from our carers. as well. I think that we need to get this centre back opened again. We need our nurse back there to cover the areas of Fawn, Inch, and Burjain, Burnfoot at the minute. So they've taken from Fawn to Buncrana, and from Inch goes to Muff and Quigley's Point area. It's too big of an area.
Mm-hmm.
The gears don't have the availability to go on to pick up what they need from the health centre. They have no access.
Right.
And I don't understand why this has happened, because Inch has nothing. We have no shops. We have no post office. We have nothing for years. And this is our main point of contact. And to drive, for the carers to drive, Inch is a large area, Backhill, Fawn, Tubin, whatever it may be. There's a lot of area the carers have to travel to get to this. And the carers are doing the most amazing job at the moment. They're not winter, spring, summer, autumn, winter. They're on the roads. For them to travel an extra to Muff or to Drumcran or to Muff to pick up supplies that they need, it's too much for them. So we the people of the Anishinaabe, we need this place opened. We need our dispensary back open again so we have access to it as a carer or as a patient.
And is there a bit of smoke and mirrors going on here, Carmel, in that they might say, well, we're not officially closing it, but if they're moving staff from there to elsewhere, is the next line, well, unfortunately, we had to cover a post somewhere else. We're actively recruiting a nurse. We're committed to the future of these services. Hopefully they'll be returned in the near future. Do you know what I mean? Is that really what we're going to get if we get in contact with the HSE, I wonder? And it will feel a little bit like smoke and mirrors. Yes, they say it's not closing, but the services simply aren't available there.
Well, Greg, it's very simple. When you have nobody working on a destination and a premises, then it's closed. HSE can say it's not closed, but it's closed. I don't know. They're pulling the wool over our eyes, I think. They're saying it's not closed because they still have keys to wherever it may be, but it's closed. You go up to the dispensary this morning, you can't get access to the dispensary. The carers can't get access to the dispensary. They have to go to Buncrana to get whatever they need. The people of the area is such a big area. Jack and myself have spoken. I spoke with Paul Cannon last night as well. We need the councillors who we voted in the last election to step up now and get our dispensary back open again. We have to save our nurse, we have to help the community, and we have to help the carers of the community to do the job they're doing. It's absolutely ridiculous. We got what we took back in March, and now to be told then 2 months later, without it, it's closed. The nurse is gone. As from yesterday, the nurse is gone. They have no access to Fawn Clinic. None.
Just remind us, if you aren't familiar with the geography, for those in that area that would be able to access services from it, how far is it to Buncrana?
Well, if you have a carer who travels from Buncrana to the dispensary, you're talking 10 kilometres.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they have to go to the back of Inch, okay, you could be talking maybe 8 kilometres. So rather than them going 8 kilometres back to the dispensary, they have to go 18 kilometres to Buncrana to get if they need stuff. Normally, they would ring. I'd ring and I would say, Mary, I need help. Hubert needs this.
Yeah.
I can guarantee 10 o'clock in the morning, between 10 and 10:30, I get a phone call and say, Carmel, how can I help?
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, Mary, Hubert needs A, B, C, or D.
Mm-hmm.
She was there. If you ring, I know the carers are different from the doctors in Buncrana. I do know all that. But, Greg, even to get an appointment, I rang the surgery a few weeks ago to get an appointment. I got a voicemail saying, the surgery is now closed.
Mm-hmm.
Please ring this number. So I rang the number, and I rang a mobile number, and I said to Gary, can you answer me a question? How many doctors is on today? She goes, 2, and 1 for emergencies. And what I needed to get, I couldn't get because there was no doctors. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
So whatever chance we have of caring for our old, we'll keep them out of nursing homes. We'll keep them in the family homes. All the old people want to stay in the family homes as long as they can. Their wish is to be at home, unless the circumstances they can't be there. So them carers are doing the job that they do. They do amazing jobs. We need to support them. We need to support our carers to do the job they do, and not without any hassle. So one carer has to leave her house at 5 to 6 in the morning, to be 6:20 to be an Inch. To your first client. Like, seriously, it has to change. We need to get the support of Jack Murray and your Pádraig McLaughlin and your Paul Cannon and whoever else wants to jump on board with us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we need to get the dispensary open again.
Stay there, Carmel. One of the people you mentioned is with us, Councillor Jack Murray. He's now the Cathaoirleach of the Innishowe Municipal District. We were speaking to you, I believe, was it last week or the week before, and very quickly then the HSE issued this statement assuring us that this facility was not closing and that, in fact, there was no plans to close any health centres. And yet here we are. It's closed, Jack. What's going on?
Yeah, look, and Carmel's just articulated many people over the last few days have been calling me in this concern and worry about the future of Fáin Health Centre. I've been working on this for a number of months. Twice, Padraig McLaughlin has put in the dollar record written to Minister Stephen Donnelly, and the response came back from the HSE that there was no plans to close Fáin Health Centre. As recently as this morning, I spoke to the head of service for CHO1 in this area, and they've maintained that it is staying as is, and Fáin Nurse remains in situ. But that's kind of contrary to what everybody has been telling me. I've rang Fáin Health Centre this morning twice. It rang out. I've spoken yesterday.
So is there a missing member of staff then? And I'm not being facetious here, because you're telling me that the person responsible in CHO1 says the nurse is in Fáin and the service is there, yet demonstrably it's not. So where is this person?
What I am fearful of is this recruitment embargo is now affecting us, trickling down, and it's hitting Fáin hardest. And that's where we need more nurses. We don't need less.
But someone's made a decision. I get where you're going with the recruitment embargo, okay, but a lot of health staff are still being employed in certain areas. That doesn't explain why it's again Fáin that's getting hit here, even if there is a recruitment embargo. We can't imagine that this all comes down to one member of staff that's not turning up to Fáin or is not in Fáin. I'm not speaking about an individual, by the way. I'm speaking about a post here. So, like, I get where you're coming from that, but there has to be something else behind it, because it can't be Fáin, which was the centre of closure concerns in March, that just happens to be the exact health centre now that still doesn't have a member of staff there this morning. Do you get where I'm coming from? Someone's making a decision that even if there is a shortage of staff, that Fáin is the low-hanging fruit. But you're saying that the person you spoke to in the CHO1 upper enchelance, they said to you that this is staffed and open.
They're saying that they said that the only change is wound care has been seen in Mobile Morgana. But I did say quite clearly that is not what I've been told on the ground by people like Carmel, by the home health care staff who are coming to Fáin and not able to get their bandages or whatever medical supplies they need to get out to care for people in the community as soon as possible. So there's two very different things being said here. So when I spoke and I had that conversation, I asked, can I get in writing the plan for Fáin going forward? That was agreed, and I'm happy to make that available to your station when I get it, because, look, Carmel's asked quite clearly for the support of political representatives. I won't accept any reduction in services in Fáin. I want Fáin Health Centre open to provide the care that people have known for so many years that they've become accustomed to. Because, and I said this on your show, Sláinte Care, which is national government policy, is to deliver healthcare where it's needed at the point where the patient needs it. They need it in Fáin. They need it in where they're closest to, particularly people who are sick, who are elderly. They need their health centre open. And Carmel has articulated very clearly why that is so vitally important.
Okay, stay there. Carmel, sorry, just if you could clarify, there's this huge gap in what we're being told by the HSE and what the reality is on the ground, Carmel. How do you know that this is a medium-term staff move, if you know what I mean? What is your information there?
The information I've received is, previously, if you ring 07493-31597, you were able to leave a voicemail. And the voicemail was picked up the next morning by the nurse. Mm-hmm. And the Fáin dispensary was manned from 9 to 5, 5 days a week. As from 2 days ago, when you ring, a post was put on Facebook that one of the carers tried to ring and leave a voicemail for the nurse, and it didn't go. They were told to ring a different number. When you ring 07498-98601, it rings out. Mm-hmm. So they don't have a choice. So that service is number one is taken away, which is very important, because if a carer is at someone at 9 o'clock at night, and maybe they know that that person needs something next morning, they know that they rang the nurse in the dispensary. That would be worth them, people. Mm-hmm. But that next morning, we don't have that choice now, Greg.
Okay, but Carl, just so I understand, how do we know that this is not just something for the next 2 days and tomorrow or this evening you'll be able to leave a voice message and the nurse will be there tomorrow? What information do you have in that regard?
The nurse has been moved. The nurse has gone to Mobile. Our nurse has gone to Mobile. If it wasn't being closed, the answer machine would be still there. Someone would have access to it. As from yesterday morning, the nurse is gone. She's gone to Mobile. We have no nurse station this morning. So if you go now this morning to stand outside the dispensary and phone, you won't get in. There's nobody there. Well, previously, you could 95. Previously, you rang it and you left a voicemail. She might turn around and say, "I'm going to meet a client. I'll be back at say 10:30. I'll meet you at 10:30." Mm-hmm. That's all gone. Okay. So God forgive, Greg. You know, if someone and she needed someone, even on phone or Burnfoot or Bridgend, it's not, you know, I claim Inch because I'm very loyal to Inch, okay? Mm-hmm. But phone and Inch and Birch or Bridgend and Birch, like that, if that nurse is stuck in Quigley's Point and someone from Inch needs them, you're talking maybe a 40-minute drive
okay.
to the back of Inch.
All right.
Well, we need to have clarification, and I know Jack's working hard on, but we need clarification. We need black and white writing that the nurses' station is going to be manned from 9 to 5 Monday to Friday, and we have the service back.
But the thing is, we kind of have that, but Councillor Murray, there seems to be a serious information gap here. The HSE's left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. Someone's contacting you, you contacted them, and they're assuring you that this is open and staffed, right? And yet we have clear evidence that is simply not the case. So wherein lies the truth?
So there is clearly contradicting information coming out, and that's causing a huge amount of concern in the local community. So as of this morning, I've got a commitment that I'm going to get the plan for Fawn in writing. And I'm happy to make that publicly known. If it indicates a reduction in services in Fawn, then we'll have a fight in our hands, because that, as I said, won't be acceptable to me, it won't be acceptable to Paul McLaughlin and other councillors in the area, and we'll fight that. So I hope to get that information today, and I try to be optimistic that will say the Fawn Health Centre will be maintained as it is. But look, anything less than that will be completely unacceptable to me.
All right, Jack, I'll let you go. The phone's a wee bit glitchy there. Councillor Jack Murray, Cathaoir Lough of the Inishowen Municipal District. Of course, Carmel, we're making our own contacts with the HSE to try and get absolute clarification on this. I'm not happy that we were sent an official correspondence from them committed to this centre, saying that nursing services would be continued and that there were no plans to close any health centres. And here we are a couple of weeks later. I don't want the wool pulled over our eyes either, but that's besides the point. I'm really focused on the community element of this. And we're going to get to the bottom of this one way or other, by hook or by crook. And thanks very much for rejoining us and outlining so clearly the importance of this survey, but also the reality on the ground. It's quite often different, isn't it, to what we seem to receive in emails and what have you.
100%. When you have carers coming to my place of work and they're asking me to help them, to be a voice for them, because they don't know where to turn to. I know Jack, they've been turning to Jack, but we need clarification, as I said, in black and white, that our public health centre is not going to close. And then once we get clarification of that, then we need to fight then for a doctor to be seen there one day a week to take the pressure off the doctors in Monkwell. We need that open the way it used to be. And we're moving forward, not moving back, Greg. So we have to, and the carers, I know the carers this morning are under pressure with everything. And I said to them, we need your support. Everybody needs the support. We need to pull together as a community like we did before with Irish Water and everything else. So we as a community are going to pull together again to get this on the ground, so we get the community centre back open, the health centre back open again, and move forward with it. Okay. And please God, Jack will have writing black and white, and you yourself will have some clarification today as to what's going on. But the main concern is we cannot close our public health centre.
All right, Carmel, thank you for that. Appreciate it. Carmel Lynch there. And if you want to back Carmel publicly on that, please, if you're a carer, and I know it can be complicated in that space, but if you are a carer or anyone else affected by this, get in touch with us. We don't want Carmel to be a lone voice either. I do understand, though, it's difficult sometimes for people to speak out. Our contact details, 086 60 25 000, that's WhatsApps and texts, or give us a call on 07491 25 000. And whilst this might sound like it's an individual we're talking about being moved from one place to another, it's got nothing to do with them, all right? They're just employed and told to go where they go. We know that, by the way, so, but just to be absolutely clear on that, this is a management issue, management decisions, and that's where the focus is 100%. A caller says, we're training more nurses than ever. They're all heading further afield and down under after being trained up. Same thing happened with newly trained doctors too. There is certainly an element of that, of course. I'm not sure what the retention rate is versus the training rate, if you know what I'm saying. But anyway, a reminder for you of a public information session. We mentioned this on the show previously. It is in the CDP, Narrosin, Chapel Road, Dunloe. It is the 2nd of July this evening at 7 p.m. And anyone who's affected by defective concrete blocks, or those who think they may be affected, are invited to attend. Do you want to know more about the issue? What's next? What steps do you need to take? What should you be doing now? What shouldn't you be doing now? Members of the Redress Focus Group will give a talk on aspects of being a homeowner with defective concrete blocks. And I know it's difficult if you have these cracks and you look at them and you think it's settling or bad plaster or whatever it might be. But perhaps if you dig down, deep down, you know that it probably is defective concrete. Certainly worth going along to that meeting and chatting to others, perhaps, who are in the same position, getting some advice and finding out where to go to next. That's tonight in CDP, Narrosin, Chapel Road, Dunloe, from 7 p.m.